think the next person that comes up more than 3 minutes short is going to get to do a little song or dance routine to fill in the space. So I don't just have to stand up here. Y'all give me the jokes and I'll stand up here and say them. All right, we'll go ahead with the next talk now. Next talk is going to be by Ann Miss Kelly. It's going to be about the effect of sorghum planting date on sugarcane aphid populations and associated natural enemies. Are we sure this isn't a sugarcane? Sugarcane aphid meeting or something?
Get your timer on. Okay, thank you. I'm a first-year master's student in Dr. Nick Sider's lab at the University of Arkansas, and today I'm going to be talking about the research we are conducting on how sorghum planting date affects sugarcane aphid population densities and their natural enemies. They were first discovered on grain sorghum in Arkansas in June of 2014, and they can also be found on Johnson grass and other sorghum species. In 2015, heavy economically damaging infestations were observed. Sugarcane aphids colonize the undersides of grain sorghum leaves, and they feed on phloem sap. On the left, you can see how they excrete honeydew, and that covers or accumulates on the leaves underneath the aphid colonies. On the right, black seedy molds grow on honeydew-coated sorghum leaves, and this can reduce photosynthetic activity and therefore also yield. Common management practices are chemical applications, neonicotinoid seed treatments, early planting, and varietal resistance. The recommended threshold in Arkansas at the moment is 50 or more aphids per leaf for 25% of the plants in the field. This is really important, even though it seems low. This prevents aphid population growth, which is really quick. The two insecticides labeled for use in 2015 and 2016 in Arkansas were Savanto Prime and Transform WG, although Transform WG may not be available this year because it was only labeled for use under the Section 18 Emergency Exemption Act. Early planting allows the crops to mature before aphid densities can reach economically damaging populations. And I already mentioned varietal resistance. The objectives of our research were studying the population dynamics of sugarcane aphids according to plant stage, also observing the recruitment of natural enemies, and then cross-examining those two factors on plots treated and untreated with Savanto Prime. In 2015, my advisor, Dr. Nick Sider, designed an experiment using four replicate blocks and eight treatments with a full factorial structure. Planting date was a whole plot factor, and treated/untreated was considered a split plot factor. In 2015, the four dates used are shown. In 2016, the four dates are also shown. So plots were scouted once a week, from initial discovery to either harvest or population collapse. We counted the number of sugarcane aphids on one upper and one lower leaf of 10 plants in each plot, such that individual leaves were treated as subsamples. In 2015, the first planting date was at soft dough at the first peak and had already reached maturity at the second peak. Okay, so on the y-axis, we have aphid population density, and on the x-axis, we have time. In the second planting date, it was already hard dough at the highest population density or economically damaging population density. The third planting date was flowering, and the fourth planting date was flowering at the population density peak as well. Overall, this is all of them together, and we can see that plant stage definitely affected the population densities. The yields were not significantly compromised in the first and second planting dates, although we do see a difference in insecticide treatments. And the third and fourth planting dates, we also see planting date differences and insecticide differences. In 2016, the first planting date had also already reached maturity by the time aphid population densities peaked. The second planting date was flowering when they started to peak and then had already reached maturity at their ultimate peak. The third planting date was V12, and the fourth planting date never actually reached maturity during collection dates. And once again, here is a collaboration. It's a little bit different from 2015 because there are two peaks in the first and second planting dates, which we also think is correlated with the plant stage. So the yields were not compromised in the first planting date, but the second, third, and fourth planting dates definitely were affected. We did not see a significant difference among treatments. And if you recall, my second objective was natural enemy observations. Our protocol was similar. Once a week, I counted a whole plant in, of five plants in each plot. We're still looking at this data right now, but we hope to be able to correlate natural enemy population increases with sugarcane aphid population increases. So here on the left, at the top with the top red square, is our number one aphid predator, a Diomus terminatus larva, which is a lady beetle larva, or not technically, but in the Coccinella family. And we had 238 observations of those. Below that is a green lacewing larva, and we only had 11 observations of those. On the right is a Skimnus species, which is also a coccinellid, with 130 larval observations. Next, the multicolored Asian lady beetle larva had 135 observations, and the adult had 124 observations. Here on the left is the pink-spotted lady beetle with 28 observations in the adult and 71 observations in the larval form. Next, the convergent lady beetle larva, we only saw 12, and of the adult, we saw 4. In the early season, we saw 19 surfid fly larvae, and we didn't record the adults because they're not predaceous, but this might be due to structural, like, blooming around the field. So finally, aphid mummies, which are created by parasitoids parasitizing aphid larvae while they're developing. We had 1,163 observations of the mummies and 911 observations of emerged, which were distinguished by the holes in their bodies. They turn black, and then when the parasitoids emerge, you can see a very distinctive hole. While these may seem like a lot, in comparison to our other natural enemies, this is probably mostly due to, this is a more of a direct measure of aphid mortality than the larva observations are. And the adults are really hard to see as well, but we were able to see 24 plants. So finally, I wanted to mention this mite that I saw in the beginning of August. I wasn't really actively recording it because we didn't know it was a predator we didn't know it was a predator at the time, but I came across it later on when I was reading primary literature. And so next summer we can keep track of that. So here's just a table showing all of our natural enemies that we know of, and this is pretty consistent with other findings around the southeast, I guess. Once again, I wanted to point out that Diomus terminatus was our highest abundant, or the larva was the most abundant natural enemy. Next, we had the multicolored Asian lady beetle, and then Skimnus larvae were also very abundant. So conclusions are that obviously planting early had a huge effect on yield. Natural enemy recruitment increases with time, And once again, we hope to be able to actually show that in a graph with aphid population densities later on. Parasitoids are important in aphid mortality. Diomys terminatus larva are very abundant, in our fields at least, and once natural enemies begin reproducing in the field, natural enemy diversity may be limited so that only a few species of lady beetles are present, which we kind of saw with how we only had a limited amount of convergent lady beetle observations. So with that, I want to thank the Arkansas Corn and Grain Sorghum Promotion Board, Brett Stewart in the 2016 Cider Entomology Summer Crew, Larry Ernest and Jack Pace for their help on the farm, my research advisor, Dr. Nick Sider, and Gus Lorenz, Glenn Studebaker, and Neil Joshi. Any questions? Right. Okay, so the question is about the temporal appearance of lady beetles in the fields, right? Yes, and I actually meant to go over that while I was going through those slides. So the convergent lady beetles, I didn't actually even start seeing those until later in the summer, so it could be possible that they started to take over, you know. Pink-spotted and Asian were there the whole time, and like I said, the hoverfly larvae were very early season, and the aphid mummies began becoming more abundant as time went on. I think it was a predator of the aphids, but that did cross my mind originally. The only reason I think it was a predator of the aphids was because I could see them on the aphids, you know? Okay, so there was a lot of variation in that. I mean, it just depended on how infested that plant was. You know, sometimes we would see completely infested plants that also had like 30 larvae on them. I mean, on one plant, like, or a leaf too. It just depends on the egg clutches, you know, and when they hatch too, and star. But that's a hard question to answer because,
looking for a gut feeling.
Yeah.
I was hearing some people say, well, you know, we saw two predators and we're pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
People would tell us we only saw two predators. So,
yeah. That's kind of a question of interest, too. We'd like to do some bioassays to get a real kind of idea of recommendations for that, you know.
Any more questions? So got a couple minutes.
How effective do you think these predators and beneficials are for maintaining these populations and sugar cane aphids back?
Okay. So the question is, how effective do I think the natural enemies or predators are at managing the sugar cane aphid populations? I think they're pretty effective, and other people, through the literature that I've read, seem to think that they're pretty effective to maintaining them at sub-economic populations after their initial, you know, first summer peak, or first peak in the summer. So. I mean, the populations collapsed almost out of nowhere in both years, and in both years,
I asked you about that in the first year, it was almost a three-week decline from July and August that you showed.
Mm-hmm.
Until they kind of went with officials.
So I can't speak for the first year because I wasn't there, but as far as the second year, it seems to be so.
Any more questions?